Do you lead an organization, a business, a company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com. S-I-M-A International. For 50 years, they're experts in retained search, talent management, and personalized coaching. Check out SEMAInternational.com. Welcome again here on Mother's Day Show. Happy Mother's Day, Marlis Hansen from SEMA International. How are you this morning, Marlis?
Fine, thank you, and happy Mother's Day to you as well.
Thank you very much. Well, just a brief intro. Marlis, of course, is a longtime practitioner, if not research guru as well, of the System for Identifying Motivated Abilities. She operates her own firm based out of California, consulting within organizations as well as coaching individuals, all about making the most of our talented capabilities, particularly our strengths. We're about to get up on the line, a guest of hers and ours that actually is a client as well, Dr. Annie Norman. She has worked with the Delaware Division of Libraries since 1985 and has been a state librarian and director since 2002. And Annie received her Doctorate of Education in Innovation and Organizational Leadership, and her dissertation was, in fact, entitled Librarians Leadership for Lifelong Learning. Her master's degree is in library science from Drexel, and the International Library and Information Studies Honor Society has recognized her work. And under her leadership, in fact, the Delaware Division of Libraries received the Delaware Quality Award of Merit, as well as an institutional award in recognition for performance excellence. So I think what our listeners are going to appreciate is Annie is absolutely passionate about libraries and the opportunities they provide for individuals and communities to really achieve their full potential. So welcome on the line, Annie. How are you this morning?
Thank you. I'm good. How are you?
Just terrific. Well, Marlis and Annie and I would like to actually speak to and educate in general about the library business, we'll say, but also the amount of change that's going on there and Marlis's opportunity here recently to partner with Annie. And, of course, the subject matter is all about lifelong learning, isn't it, ladies?
Absolutely.
Yeah, in fact, Marlis,
yes,
we really talk about, actually, of course, in the SEMA process, how learning is such a foundational element, provided we understand how we all might go about it in different ways. But let's talk about that concept first of lifelong learning, because this is really purposeful learning that's undertaken really across that ongoing basis of our life to acknowledge and improve kind of the intersection of our knowledge, our skills, our competencies, as well as pull in there that experience. So, Annie, I'm sure the concept of lifelong learning, I know, isn't a one-time thing, is it? It's really an integration or almost a holistic view.
Absolutely. In my review of the literature for the dissertation, I was specifically looking at informal lifelong learning, and what I found was that the unintended consequence of public education, although, of course, it's a good thing, but it resulted in generations of passive learners. And I realized that libraries have the very best view of lifelong learning of all, because we support all of the learning realms. We support workforce development. We support education. We support community and quality of life issues. And then we also support personal interests and talents, and that's where I think we can have the greatest impact. And that's where the SEMA comes in to help us reclaim that active learning and the power of our own individual ingenuity.
Well, and I think that was the big distinction you were making, is it passive versus active? So what are we doing mindfully? Marlis, your thoughts, because I know if there's ever a devotee of lifelong learning, it's you personally. I know that.
Well, it's exciting to see, Annie's concept come to life when you interact with the librarians and see how, you know, how much potential there is for really making lifelong learning a very active partner, in that whole operation. Because, as she said, the library provides a resource for all these different avenues that she cited. And the individual librarian is very much the person who, you know, is the face of that when they interact with the patron.
So, you know, your librarians really, Annie, are brokers, connectors, facilitators. I mean, there's all sorts of leadership terminology I'd use there, too.
That's right. Well, of course, you know, librarians, we come to the profession, I think, primarily, most of us, because we love to read. And we take pride in, you know, helping generate that addiction to reading in our users. But, you know, really, that's not enough anymore. We need to make sure that we're igniting learning passions. And so I was seeking to make sure that librarians are not just readers, that we're also lifelong learners. In my the action research that I conducted, it seemed that there might be a disconnect. And so in SEMA, we were helping, starting with librarians first, to make sure that they understand themselves and their lifelong learning path, so that they could better assist individuals to discover their paths.
That's right. Marlis, could you just frame for our audience what that workshop looked like?
Well, it was pretty much the same workshop that we do for all employees, in the sense that we spend a good bit of time helping the individual employee or person, if they're, you know, not an employee, to understand what it is that really is their passion, in the sense of, you know, the subject matter that they like to work with, the abilities they bring to the party, how they relate to others, the circumstances that trigger and sustain their motivation, and then just kind of the outcome, the outcome they're seeking from their work. And so the first part of it is really training the individuals in that concept, and then helping them to understand how their own life work experiences provide the evidence for the nature of, you know, their passions. And we always say it's teaching them how to fish as well as giving them a fish. It's, we give them their pattern, their, you know, the results of their own story, but we also tell them, teach them enough about the process, so hopefully they can use that in their interactions with their patrons. You know, they use the idea of pursuing more evidence, more detail about what the person is really interested in, so that it opens up that conversation with the individual. And then, of course, the next step in the workshop is kind of the next step we hope that they can carry forward with their patrons, and that is, once you understand more about what it is that really interests or motivates you, then you have some guidance for how, where to take that, whether it's for pursuing, you know, an active a role in your community or in your church, or whether it's a continuing education program or an online degree, or, you know, whatever your target is, that you can use that evidence about your passion to make more informed decisions and strategies.
Well, Annie, this is a really a powerful step to consider for your organization, because I'm certain there are countless job seekers out there that have indeed recognized that an epicenter to go get a lot of help is right from their local library. But to not have a staff that might be equipped to see beyond, you know, here's a list of websites or there's our books on self-help, you're really wanting to equip your teams with much greater capability in that leadership component, aren't you?
Well, absolutely. Of course, we were very fortunate to have strong support from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and we actually obtained a $2.8 million stimulus grant with their help. And so we have set up job centers. We're providing those skills. My concern, though, was that, you know, if there aren't jobs, you know, then what? And so I really wanted to extend it to look at entrepreneurship, which, you know, is absolutely comes from those individual interests and talents. You know, again, it's back to that active learning. You know, jobs can be passive, just like education can be passive. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that people were taking a more active role in their future, and, you know, creating a way to earn an income that may not be in a job. It might be a business.
So tell me your reactions, you personally, from going through the workshop process with Marlis and getting your pattern done. But as you survey and looked at your teammates that went through this experience, I mean, wasn't it quite eye-opening for them to see themselves reveal, but at the same time now try to calibrate and say, okay, now how can I use this newfound knowledge to help others?
Well, I think, certainly was a success. I didn't expect to change a culture in a two-day workshop. I wasn't putting that much of a burden on Marlis, but the follow-up has been really good. In fact, I may have some more business for you this fall.
We'd like to hear that.
Generated, there's been some real buzz about the experience, and now, you know, we love that peer pressure. Now some others want that as well. It's still a challenge to flip that mindset over to a user-centered focus. Mm-hmm. To get librarians and frankly the general public used to that. Rather than to work from, well, here's what we want people to learn, it's here's what they want to know.
Right.
And develop our programs and services around, with a user-centered focus.
Yeah, that's very well said. Marlis, you've done, obviously, SEMA for over 30 years for individuals and within organizations. How was this particular workshop and the collection of individuals who you did their individual maps for, how was this different from others you've done?
Well, it was really quite interesting. I think Annie put her finger on it a little earlier when she said that, you know, librarians probably choose a profession because, one, they're very interested in learning and reading. And especially, I think, the learning. And you could see that in the session. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been with me, Zara, when we've had participants who attend a challenge at the concept of motivation, of lifelong.
Yeah.
And these individuals did not. They seemed very open to the, you know, and to want to learn about the concept, and even those who were more reluctant to maybe initially share their achievements, you know, and thought it was inappropriate, maybe it sounded like they were bragging to talk about things that they had achieved throughout their life, even when, you know, after they got into it and listened to their colleagues and, you know, really started to feel how important it is to have people be interested in what you're interested in, and have them listen to you and ask you questions about it, and have suggestions of how you might use that interest. I think they found the process, as most of our clients do, very engaging, and so it helps to, you know, take that step forward if a person is reluctant to share. But their interest and their ability to learn was really quite fun to work with. In fact, there was one part in the workshop where we give the individuals a little quiz on can they identify the definitions with the terminology that we use, you know, in the patterns, just as a way of, you know, helping them to take this forward. And both workshops, the individuals almost had 100% on this matching exercise that we did, which is very unusual. We rarely get that kind of accuracy, you know, in just the two-day workshop exposure.
Well, that's because they're all about cracking the code, and they cracked your code.
I think so. They went to the head of the classes.
Yeah, that's always. Annie, that whole idea of being in service to others, obviously, that's something I would imagine you still do look for in terms of interviewing and attracting librarians into the field. But you're also knowing that their job really needs to go to the next level of being that really almost wicked, inquisitive resources to go ferret out the detail. And do you feel that came shining through as you watched your colleagues participate?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think, you know, we're trying to kind of redefine our profession and what's next. And I think, you know, we have this great opportunity to help renew the ingenuity in our individuals and communities. Of course, we're in Delaware, so I'm interested in, you know, what's the Delaware version of the American dream? And how can we pull all of our talents and interests to help create our new future, both for, you know, individuals and for Delaware? So, you know, I think, it's what the what America needs and how we can get back to that. And I think that'll help seal libraries' future as well. You know, it's not just about the collections anymore. It's how we use the collections to help individuals achieve goals.
That, and also providing a sense of community, because I think, you know, maybe not so much the larger towns, but you go to a small town, and if you're going to the town hall, the Chamber of Commerce, might almost directly right next to it is the library, that they offer their conference rooms for a variety of things, but they really serve as some glue. And at a time when there's some challenges, that we're losing social capital or the sense of the community, and nobody walks on sidewalks, or back, there's no such thing as a front porch now and the back porch, but yet the library system plays an important role there, doesn't it, Annie?
Yes, both in person, we can have those community conversations, but also online. I mean, we're looking for, to find the expertise that we have throughout our community to help others with similar interests to evolve that.
So that's interesting. So the idea that the library really is bigger than the bricks and mortar then, and that your librarians need to indeed embody those digital skills at the same time.
Yes, well, you know, our collections are on all formats. We have, you know, all kinds of e-books and all sorts of things. So it's, you know, bringing all of that together, whether people want the personal touch or online, to make sure that we have the mechanisms for those conversations.
That's
and shared learning.
Marlis, again, thinking about that topic of lifelong learning and the role that you've played in orchestrating so many different of these workshops across different industries and the like, what were your biggest personal takeaways, other than the fact that they got the quiz right and you could kind of move through some of that information faster?
Well, I think I was probably most surprised by the level of effort that the all of the librarians make to connect with their patrons. I kind of remembered the days where, you know, you just went in with a question and maybe went to the reference desk and got a little help and that was it. But boy, these folks are really going all out to connect with their patrons, whether it's in the children's reading programs or the teenage programs for that group, and in the job centers that they're working with, and they have these special grants for, are just extraordinarily helpful to individuals who are trying to apply for jobs, and maybe they don't have a computer at home, or they don't have the skills, or they don't, you know, they're just getting educated on the online process. Just incredibly helpful. In the morning when we went to the Dover Library there the first day, we were amazed at the people that were lined up outside the library waiting to get in the morning.
Yeah, just a whole different environment, isn't it?
Different environment,
And Annie, for you personally, because obviously going through this process, you had your motivated abilities profile done. For you to have gone from being a PhD or researcher to now the leader of librarians in such a prominent state role, what were some of your own personal ahas of what you learned about yourself?
Well, I'm great things for my resume alone, but I think, you know, the idea that I to have things that are unique, learning, of course, I knew, but, the ways to display it. I think it's also interesting to see what I lack, in fact, Marlis has been helping us, a handful of my team, we've been kind of comparing notes to see, and one of the things I was frustrated with was to have, you know, procedures in place, because we're innovative, but we need to document the procedures. And Marla says, well, it looks like you have no one that is really motivated to do that.
And so that'll tell you how to back at your own limitations by hiring someone who loves to do that. Well, Annie Norman from the Delaware Library System, the state librarian, in fact, and Marlis Hansen from SEMA International, thanks for joining us this morning, and we'll look forward to continue track that change dynamic. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you.
Very good. Have a great morning. Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.